And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon. I was out last week, and we played, you might not have even known that, but I was out, and we played a rerun. So if you listened to last week's show and you thought, man, I think I've heard him say that before, it's because you had heard me say that before. I was at a conference, a CareNet conference, which is an umbrella organization for pregnancy centers and clinics across the country. And so that was a good time to meet other folks from all parts of the country and world, and also to talk about life and discuss life. And I was able to I was fortunate enough to have an opportunity to speak in front of a group about life and the narrative and kind of things that I talk about on here quite a bit, as we look at the need to change the pro-life narrative and how do we do that, and how do we look at men and women that are looking at abortion as an option? How do we talk with them? How do we love on them? How do we serve them? And, of course, the narrative that we have as pro-lifers is one of service, love, and care, and women's health. And so that is what our pregnancy centers are made up. That's what our model is. And that is what we do at Hope Resource Center every single day. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is life and the value of it. And the way I'm going to do that today is September 13th. So 2 days ago was the 15-year anniversary of 9/11. And 9/11, for many of us, you know, just seeing those numbers together brings a sense of sadness, a sense of mourning. It makes us do something. When you hear that 9/11, or when you see it, when you think about the trade centers, when you think about the Pentagon, when you think about Flight 93 that went down in a field in Pennsylvania, we think about that day and we mourn. And we think about that day and we think about the difference that 15 years has been for this country. I mean, I always, even small things, like I watch Home Alone, and you're thinking, well, what's Home Alone got to do with 9/11? Well, bear with me. You watch Home Alone, especially... well, both of them. What do they do? They run through the airport. They have their bags and they're running like crazy. And that was normal back then. That was normal. You could go and greet somebody as they got off the plane. Folks, that's not normal anymore. Why? Because of 9/11. I flew last week. You have to wait in the security line. I got to my destination and opened up my suitcase. And what did I find? I found a note. A note from the government saying, "We chose your bag to open and search through." Folks, this is the new norm because some radical folks decided to hijack some airplanes and fly them into buildings and seek to kill off and damage America, what some would call the Great Satan. And so when we hear those terms, 9/11, when we see that, when we think about these things, it brings a sense of emotion. So September 11th, 2001, brought so much anger, disgust, and fear. None of us knew what the days before us would bring. The great America was no longer untouchable. We had become vulnerable, and the enemy attacked that vulnerability. So that day, 15 years ago, changed the lives of so many. It left kids orphaned, wives widowed, and husbands alone, as families were broken apart. The images are forever etched in my mind of dust-covered business people and helpless individuals seeking relief by flinging themselves from windows and from the rooftop of the World Trade Center. That day 15 years ago changed us forever, but we did not stay in the ashes. We did not accept defeat. We did not let the enemy claim victory. Instead, we rallied in the ashes and joined together as only we can. We saw people from all walks of life and from all parts of this country come together with one voice. Churches opened their doors to believers and non-believers alike. First responders made their way to New York to join their brothers and sisters in searching for any sign of life among the rubble. One of the greatest tragedies this country had ever seen didn't tear us apart, but instead brought us together. That day 15 years ago motivated countless men and women to devote their life to military service. That day saw folks run into the storm and not away from it. That day 15 years ago was one of the darkest days in our history, but it was also one of the brightest. For on that day, we didn't see color, economic class, gender, or age. We simply saw the American people, our people, hurting. Our differences were set aside as we locked arms for a greater good. That day 15 years ago must always be remembered, not simply because that is the day a foreign enemy attacked us, but because that is the day where we saw clearly what we were made of. That is the day where many got off the sidelines and got into the fight. That day 15 years ago seems so far from us now. Our country is more divided than I've seen it in my 30-plus years on earth. My heart aches for our nation, but I'm hopeful because I know what is possible when we come together. So I ask you today not simply mourn for the lives lost, but take some time to remember the togetherness this country experienced. Remember the bravery of so many who put their lives on the line for strangers. Remember the love that was poured out from around the globe. Our country changed forever on that Tuesday back in 2001. Fear became a reality. TSA lines are now longer. Attacks seem imminent, and our politics have pulled us apart. We would rather talk at people and not with people. We find our worth in friends, quote-unquote, in a monitor or a screen, and not in relationships with our neighbors. I spend a lot of time here and other places discussing life and the value it should be given. Every one of us knew, as the rubble laid on the streets of New York, that on 9/11, 2001, life was precious and deserved our care. We all were, even if just for a moment, pro-life. We cried, hugged, and joined our neighbors to mourn for fellow citizens. Homes, churches, and businesses opened their doors to assist communities in coping. Schools allowed conversations to occur in classrooms to offer relief for students seeking to understand the world they now called home. 15 years can seem like an eternity, but it wasn't that long ago that we all stood for something greater than ourselves. Can we get back there? Can we see our society joined together again in one voice? Life is intrinsically good. This is a truth that some struggle with, but all ultimately know. I will never forget what our country went through those 15 years ago. We will always remember the rubble, the death, and the hurt, but we must never neglect the love and the celebration of life that was poured out as thousands flooded New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania to stand and serve strangers. This is who we are, people that love life and see its value. And I pray we get back to that truth. Now, if you listen to this show, you know that I like to put thoughts on paper. So that's why at times you're going to be like, he sounds like he's reading something. Well, because I am. And that's how I work through things. And so so that was my thoughts on 9/11. 9/11, 2001, I was 17 years old. I was a senior in high school at Cornersville High School. And you're like, where is Cornersville? Where it's 60 miles south of Nashville in Middle Tennessee, in a very small town. It was a K-12 school at the time. Since then, they built an elementary school. But I was sitting in class. It was a geometry or some type of math class. Coach Lee was my teacher. And Coach Lee, you don't know Coach Lee, but Coach Lee at times would just walk out of class. And he would show back up, 10 minutes later, 5 minutes later, 20 minutes later. One thing you don't need to know about Coach Lee as well is Coach Lee was an active duty officer in the Army. And so he was a military guy. He was a football coach and just kind of a different dude. Well, on that day, Coach Lee walks out of the room, as you know, we become to expect. But Coach Lee never came back. So we the bell rang and we got out of class, and walking through the halls, we're hearing people talking about planes, and we're hearing people talk about New York, and we're under attack, and we're hearing all these things, but no one is telling us. We're not hearing it on the loudspeaker. We're not hearing these things. And so I go, my next class is music. And so I go into the music class, and I was a bit of a turd at times in class. And so I walk in, and Miss Moffitt tries to sit us down and tell us what we're doing. And I said, no, I think we need to listen to the news. And she tried to get me to, you know, pay attention and sit down. I said, I'm not sitting down. Something is happening in our country, and no one is telling us. And so I want to know what's going on. So I grabbed the radio, turned the news on, and then we found out. All heck was breaking loose around our country. And they were grounding airplanes all over the country. Air Force One is now the only plane in the air in this country besides some fighter jets. America was under attack. So at 17 years old, I'm trying to process that. And I'm beginning to think, well, what does this mean? I thought we were the untouchable. I thought we were the big boy on campus. And you mean to tell me some dudes just took over some planes and they didn't crash them in the middle of nowhere? They purposely flew them into the heart of New York. America City. They did that on purpose. And so I begin to process all these things, and I'm thinking about, okay, this is what my dad's been talking about. This is why I needed to pay attention to the news. This is why I needed to have an interest in the political world. These are things that I'm starting to process. And so my dad, in the meantime, I didn't know this then, but he told me afterwards, he called the school and he was like, are y'all going to cancel school? And they were like, we're not going to cancel school. And my dad, I'm 17. I don't even live with my dad. And I'm living on my own at that time. And my dad said, I almost came up there and checked you out and drove you myself, which I thought was funny. But that was my dad's way of saying, I was scared and I was caring about you. And I wanted to make sure you were okay at school. And so what did we do when we left school? Well, we did what everybody did in this country. We went to a gas station because all of us thought, there's going to be no gas. This is, and that sounds silly now. There was thousands of people dead, and we were thinking about filling up our trucks, our cars. Silly. I'm almost ashamed that my first thought wasn't to mourn, but it was, am I going to have enough gas in my truck? And then the next thing we did was I'm from a very country town, so I went and got an American flag, and I flew that bad boy on the back of my truck, because that's what patriots do. And then, and so we did all of that, and then I went home. I finally made it home, and I'm sitting there with my brother, who I lived at the time. My oldest brother had his own place, and my senior year of high school, I moved in with him and was living with him, and we just watched the news the rest of the night. I think we slept on the couch and just begin to have these thoughts of everything that we've known to be normal, everything that we've known to be America, everything that we've known to be precious was gone. Because some nut jobs took over some planes. Just like that. Families broken apart. And you may be hearing this and you're saying, why are you doing this? First off, I'm doing this for selfish reasons because I don't get a chance to release a lot of this and to talk through this. And so I'm doing that here because I have an hour. And it's just me, so I'm going to talk about it. But secondly, it's because what I want to point to is how all of us valued life that day and the day after. And we'll talk more when we come back. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. And today we're just having a bit of a reflection time. So what I can promise you is in the next, half hour or so, I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to bring that up. But what I do want to do is I think it's important for Christians, it's important for all of us, for Americans, to reflect on what went on 9/11 and what happened on 9/12. And so what was the mindset and what we saw? I mean, even in my small little town, in what some would say the middle of nowhere, in Cornersville, in Lewisburg, Marshall County area, you had churches opening their doors for prayer. Now there wasn't anyone in my circle of friends that would be considered a New Yorker, okay? I mean, our accents are a lot different. We did different things. We grew up on farms. We grew up out in the middle of nowhere. We spent summers in hayfields. But yet, we mourned for the loss of life. We mourned for strangers. We mourned for that little girl that would never see her daddy again. We mourned for that wife that would never see her husband again. For that husband that would never see his wife again. We mourn for them. Why? Not just because they were Americans. Now we want to package that, and country music made a killing off that. Toby Keith made a killing off that. But it's not just because of that. We mourn for them because it hurt us to our core to see innocent lives taken away. Just like when the attacks happened in Nice, France, not too long ago. And we saw strollers in the middle of the streets and dead kids because someone drove a truck through the middle of a street where people were standing and celebrating. We mourn for them. Why? Because deep down, even the abortion lobby, even the pro-choicers, deep down, they have a value for life. There's something inside of them that says, that's not okay. That's why they get upset when we see forests and trees cut down. That's why they get upset when a rare turtle is living in the desert and someone wants to build and they say, we can't build because that rare turtle will not have life. Because deep down, they know that life is valuable. And so what we saw on 9/11 was we saw a country come together and say, this isn't right. Not just because America was attacked, but this isn't right because innocent people that had nothing to do with government, that had nothing to do with politics, that had nothing to do with any of this, innocent people that just got up that morning to fly, to get home or to go on a business trip or to meet family or to go on vacation, whatever that was. Innocent people that day, just because they had a ticket on that plane, or just because they worked in the Pentagon, or just because they worked in the trade towers, the Twin Towers, just because their lives were lost. So on that day, what we saw as a country, what we saw even in media, they're showing candlelight vigils everywhere. You see journalists that are weeping on TV. You see journalists not leaving the air. They're staying up all hours of the night to bring the news to the American public and to the world. Why? Some would say, well, because America was under attack, and America is the greatest country on the face of the planet. That's one of the reasons. But another reason is because life has value. That's why. Why did those people on Flight 93 get up and do something about their hijackers? That plane was, from all accounts, was supposed to go to the Capitol. Was supposed to hit the nation's capital and really stick it to the great Satan that is America. That was their goal. But people on that flight, on Flight 93, said, no, other people's life, our lives, are valuable. And if we overtake these hijackers, we may lose our life. But in the process, we may save thousands. And they valued life so much. Preachers, you want a good illustration? They valued life so much that they were willing to give their own to protect another. Sound familiar? So it isn't that, you know, in 15 years later, I mean, we've just reached a part of just crazy town. People angry at everybody and everything. Everyone's finding negative in everything. Bitterness is reigning. I mean, social media has become a cesspool of just anger and hatred. But think back to 9/11. Think back to September 12th. What was the feeling you had the day after? Think back to watching the Yankees play baseball and George W. throwing out the first pitch. And the emotion that came with that. Think back to seeing our president stand on the rubble and talk to the people. Think about the firefighters and the first responders that spent day after day, hour after hour with no sleep, just hoping they could find one body, alive or dead, just to bring about some type of closure. Why did they do that? They didn't do that out of anger. They did that because life has value. As the buildings were collapsing on 9/11, as the Twin Towers were coming down, why were there firefighters going up the stairs? Why? Because life has value. They weren't going up there because they were angry at terrorists. So what we have to get to a point of as a country and as a people is this life issue isn't a political issue. The men and women that decided to fling themselves out of the building because they thought that was a better option, we don't know their political affiliation. We don't know if they were believers or not. The firefighters that were pulling people out of rubble, they weren't checking political affiliation. They weren't asking, do you lean left or lean right? Are you a citizen of this country or not? What we saw in those days was love being poured out. Why? Because life has value. That is who we are. That is who we are to be. And sadly, we have moved so far from that. That now we are just angry. Tim McGraw sang a song, I think it was a redo, but I don't know why you have to be angry all the time. I agree. Now, so when I reflect on 9/11, there's so many emotions that come. Is there an anger? Yeah, there's certainly anger that comes. But more than that, it's the feeling of, that's been the only time in my life, in my 32 years on this planet, where I truly felt like the country as a whole stood together. Where we said, we have differences, and we may look different, and we may talk different, and we may act different. But on this day, we're all New Yorkers. On this day, we're all standing together. Not just out of anger, but because life has value. And I still think deep down, that's why the emotions were so real and raw then. Because we lived, that was right at the beginning of cable news, and that was right at the beginning of being able, everything was just right in your face. It was the beginning of those things. And so we saw it on live TV. A plane hit that building. We saw on live TV people jumping out of those buildings. We saw people covered in dust. We saw New York look like it's never looked before. We saw these things live. And we wept. Why? Because we knew that innocent people were taken. And we knew deep down that life is valuable. And it wasn't okay. It didn't sit well with us. No one deserved that. And so, even though we've moved far away from that, can we not get back to a point where we say, we may have our disagreements, and we may see things differently, but can we not agree that life has value? We'll be back in a sec. So, as we reflect on 9/11, and I know a lot of people have been doing that since Sunday, and some people did it on Sunday, some people did it yesterday. Well, I'm on the air today, so that is why we're doing it today on September 13th. But as we reflect, I do think it's important. I think sometimes when we reflect on that day, we do it out of anger, or we think about, we still haven't gotten all those terrorists or you know, things like that. And should our government be thinking about those things? Sure. But I think we as a people and as a populace, when we reflect, we need to think, how did I love my family more the day before, the day after? How did I love my neighbor more the day after? And is the way I love then better or worse today? And so as we reflect, think about look in the mirror. Did you love better on 9/12/2001 than you do on 9/13/2016? Have you reverted back to that angry, bitter, hateful person that you didn't want to be, that you told yourself on 9/12, okay, after that, I'm no longer going to be that person. I'm now going to love well. I'm going to love my spouse better. I'm going to love my kids better. I'm going to love my mom, my dad better. I'm going to love my neighbor better. Because I think anytime tragedy happens like that, we all kind of assess our life. Even as a 17-year-old, I remember. It changed me. It changed the way I interacted with people. It changed the way I hugged my family. It changed the conversations that I had. But if I'm honest and transparent, there are days where I don't hold up my end of the bargain. I don't hold up to that challenge that I laid out for myself on 9/12 when I said, things are going to be different for me. Because there's days I don't love my wife well. I don't love my kids well. I neglect family members. Or I neglect my neighbors. Or I'm rude to strangers. So as we reflect on that, this is why it's so important. This is why it's so important that we have an understanding and a value system. Because if we don't value life at the beginning stage, at the last stage, at any stage in between, if we're not valuing life, then that's going to determine how we interact with each other. When I went to the March for Life in D.C. this past January, and it's snowing and there's, you know, just snow everywhere, it's freezing. I forgot my gloves. My hands were absolutely frozen. And I'm walking through there, and I'm walking with thousands of people who have weathered the storm and said, we're going to tell the world that life has value. It was an amazing thing, truly amazing. And when we got to the end, there was, and I'm not going to call them pro-choicers, there were abortion supporters at the end, cussing at us, yelling at us. They had fake blood on their pants, calling us all the names in the book. And I remember thinking, regardless if you agree with me or not on the life issue, who stands with those people? Who stands with them? And I'll be honest with you, there's some pro-lifers that are just as angry and just as hateful as those abortion supporters. And so as we walk through this, and as we stand for life, we must do that from a place of love, not bitterness. From a place of love, not hate. From a place of love, not indifference. Not anger. Because when you come at it from a place of hate, indifference, bitterness, or anger, you're going to lose every single time. Every time. When I have a conversation with my wife and I come at it from a place of love, then we have a good dialogue. When I come at it from a place of anger, we lose. We lose. When I deal with issues with our staff at Hope, if we come from a place of anger, we lose. That's not leadership. That's not who we are. And folks, if you're listening to this and you're a believer, we should be leading the charge on life. We should be driving that narrative. And so if we're to lead it and we're to drive it, if we're leading and driving out of anger and bitterness and hate and resentment, we lose. Period. I had lunch with someone today and they said, I feel like we can see the light at the end of the tunnel on the abortion issue. I would agree with that. Now, it's a very, very long tunnel. But why do you think that is? Why do you think the millennial generation, the younger generation, is the most pro-life generation this country has ever seen? Why do you think that is? It's because since 1973, the abortion lobby, what have they been doing? They've been leading out of anger, out of bitterness, out of resentment, out of hate. And so the younger generation is beginning to see. They're beginning to see, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be hateful. So folks, if we try to meet anger with anger and hate with hate, they're not going to come and join us. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to join us either if that was our narrative. If that was what we were pushing, if that's what we're selling, then I'm not buying it. That cannot be who we are. Does this issue of abortion and life, does it bring about emotions and anger? Absolutely. But the question is, how do we respond? How do we respond? And that's why I wanted to reflect today on 9/11. Because our response was, what can I do? What can I do? How can I help? How can I pray? How can we feed those people up there? How can we get them water? People from all over the country made their way to New York to dig through rubble. And a lot of those people have since had cancer and other issues, and they've died because of what was in that rubble. But they didn't think about those things. Why? Because life has value. And they love life so much that they were willing to risk theirs for someone else's. I mean, that's a picture of the gospel. That's a picture of who we are to be as believers. It isn't anger. Anger doesn't make you drive 1,000 miles to help sift through rubble. Anger doesn't make you fill up a truck full of food to feed those in need. But love does. Love does. And so that is where we need to become and get to a point of being in the pro-life movement, is a place of love for our neighbor, love for the stranger. Can we do that? Can we get back there? I don't know the answer. I mean, I wish I could have gave you an amazing answer right there and just been, and here's how we do it. One way to do it is you partner with places like Hope Resource Center. I mean, it's really at the ground level, at the street level of pro-life work. There's 2,500 plus pro-life clinics across this country. Partner with them. Stand with them. Pray for them. It brought me so much joy. I had lunch today with a pastor. And I said, Pastor, one of the reasons why I wanted to have lunch with you today is because I wanted to ask you if you would pray for me. Can I reach out to you every week, every other week, and just say, hey, here's some needs. Can you pray? And you know what this pastor said to me? He said, I'd be honored to do that. And as a matter of fact, I pray for you already every single Wednesday. Wow. I didn't know that. Now, why does he do that? Because life has value. I'm not a member of his church. I don't give to his church. But he believes in the work that Hope is doing. And so one way you can assist is helping and standing with places like Hope. We'd love for you to join us at Hope by lending your time, your, you know, maybe your wallets, your voice, your prayers. We have a golf tournament coming up. Maybe you want to play in the golf tournament. Every dollar that is raised is going to help serve moms and dads in crisis. But even if you're thinking, well, that's just not my, you know, I don't know if I want to do that, then all I would say is just love better tomorrow than you did today. Love your spouse better. Love your kids better. Love the cashier at the store at Weigel's or whatever store you may go to. Love them better. Love better. We have so many people that walk around in this community and all over the country that are so on edge at any time they could explode. At any time they could blow up on anyone. Why? Because they're not leading with love. If you're leading with love and you're praying that God would use you in a mighty way, then your first reaction isn't going to be hate and anger. It's going to be love. Can we do that? We'll talk more when we come back.
This is my offering, dear Lord. This is my offering to you, God. And I will give you my life.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood. I love that song. That's good stuff. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening today as we reflected, as we look back to 9/11, September 11, 2001, that Tuesday morning. So some of you were maybe getting ready for work. Some of you were in school. Some of you might be retired and you were at home. Some of you were, you know, just getting back from dropping your kids off at school. So many places you could have been. Some of you might have been in the airport. Some of you might have been in an airplane. And so the reason why I wanted to reflect is because I think it's important that when we reflect, we remind ourselves of the people we wished we would be, right? So if we think back to what happened that day, all of us had those internal conversations of, okay, now what? Who am I going to be? And that's why a lot of people took that day and said, you know what, I'm going to join the military because of this. NFL players left millions and millions of dollars on the table to go fight and serve. And so those are things that we did. And so what I want us to do is reflect. And as we reflect, look back and say, okay, what does this mean? And why was I so moved? Well, it's because life has value. It's because life matters. And so ultimately, that's where I wanted us to get to, is that even for just a moment, even if for just a moment, we were all pro-life. I mean, isn't that amazing? Journalists on TV. People from small towns like Cornersville. People from big cities like Boston. We're all pro-life to say, life has value. I'm going to drop everything. I'm going to drive up there, and I'm going to help in any way I can. And we see it. We see it all the time when tragedy strikes. But I think at times what we do is we then allow ourselves to get back into the mundane, and we allow ourselves to forget about leading with love. And so don't do that. Don't forget about what we need to be doing. Don't forget about what we've been called to do. So lead with love. Let that move you to get engaged. We all agree that life has value. So what are we doing about it? How are we interacting with that issue? So some things coming up that you can get involved with. September 26th, we have a golf tournament at Gettysview. We still need golfers. If you want to join us, you can go to our website, investinghope.com. Click on the events tab and you'll see the golf tournament. You can sign up online. You can reach out to me, andrew@knoxvillehope.com. This Sunday, I will be joining Jason Hayes and Chuck Hooten at Shoreline Church. And I will be assisting as we talk about abortion and the life issue and how the church needs to interact with that issue and how we do need to change the narrative, the life narrative, and how we enter it with grace and we enter it with love and we serve the men and women of this community. That's what we're going to be talking about Sunday. So if you want to join us, then you can join us at Shoreline. They have two services, and I'll be at both of them and would love to talk to you and would love to kind of share the life message with you. So you can do that. So many things happening. We have our prayer initiative coming up in October. I'm going to let you know about all of this stuff, but the main thing is reach out. Let us know what we can do for you and reach out and stand with us as we stand for every single life in the womb and out of the womb. We thank you so much. God bless you.
Waiting there, you build a mighty fortress.